in my soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Another hand of praise this morning for his word and a beautiful song. How true it is. Man looks on the outside. Thanks be to God that he looks on the heart. Praise the Lord. If you get your Bible, stand on your feet now of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, your Son, we thank you afresh for this opportunity now to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost do in the text as only he can. Let him direct our thoughts. Let him minister to our hearts. Let him meet us right where we are and then lift us to the place he would have us to be for your glory and for our good. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said,
Amen.
I want to call your attention to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And I want us to look afresh at this word that is before us, beginning at verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. The word says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, the impact of things. The impact of things. Our society is a very thing-oriented society. That there's nothing actually wrong, and I want to make clear, with having things. The problem rises when things have us. In these verses, Jesus warns of sin and of living for material things. And you would almost think that this message wouldn't have to be preached to the church and to the believers, But so many times, because we are made of dust and divinity, because we walk in this world, though we're not of this world, there are many influences from this world that we've got to be careful about. God wants to bless us in every area of our lives, including the area and arena of material blessings. Matter of fact, it is clear that God in His Word desires us to prosper, be blessed, have health and wealth, and enjoy all of those things in a balanced relationship with Him. As a matter of fact, Scripture shares how God's people were the most blessed people, especially in the Old Testament times, when they followed God, honored God, lived for God. God prospered them and blessed them beyond any of the worldly folk and or their treasures or measures. And so it's clear biblically that God has no problem with you having things. It's only when you allow the things to have you. Now, first thing I want us to look at, verse 19 and 21 deals with your heart. And this has to do with your affection. Let's go back and read these verses, if you don't mind. Verse 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Well, first of all, is it saying do not have a savings account? Do not have investments? Do not set something aside for the rainy day? No, it's not saying that at all. Literally, the meaning conveyed is do not stack and store stuff so that you might be in the midst of your plenty, be independent of God, trusting in your things. Look again at what it goes on to say. It says, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now, literally what it's saying is, if you safeguard your stuff and think that your stuff can safeguard you, you're in for another thought. There are so many different things that can happen and so many different things that could go wrong. And he goes in different arenas and areas that usually wind up destroying things, moth and rust and thieves. And so out of these three arenas, basically what it is saying is if the insects don't get it, then the rust will. If the rust don't get it, then the thieves will. But know this, it will not be able to save you when you need it the most. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. In other words, what he's saying is, you've got to make sure that you're laying your treasure in the right place, that you're storing your treasure in the right place. Well, where is the right place? The record is clear, in heaven. Well, how do I get my treasure in heaven before I get to heaven? I'm glad you asked. You get your treasure in heaven before you get there by investing while you're here on earth. When you give, as God says to give, and when you are led and followed through under the unctioning of the Holy Ghost to sow into men's lives, because even Luke 6:38 says, given it shall be given unto you, and you know good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But that's not the part I'm getting to. It says, where men will give into your bosom. So what I'm trying to help you understand is, while you need to recognize when you give in the earth realm, because you can't give in the spirit realm, God takes what is in your mind and your motives and your material things, and He likens that to that investment in heaven. Now, listen to this. God's not going to rain money down from heaven, because He's already given us a means of exchange on earth. So what He will do is bring into our charge, bring into our control monies and resources, and then use us, touch our hearts, put upon our minds to invest in the kingdom business. When we invest in the kingdom business, God takes the investment on earth and He makes that same record in heaven. And so when you recognize whatever I invest in the kingdom of God here on earth, God's got a duplicate record up in heaven. And that's how I get my investments in heaven. So I store up my treasures in heaven by doing what Jesus has called for me, you, to do while here on planet earth. I want you to see something else. Because when we look at this, verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. Now listen to this, because you can have things and it doesn't have your heart. But when you treasure things, it is connected to your heart. And I want you to hear this very well, because things, we can have a lot of things, and none of that again is connected to our heart, but we can have one thing. Or we can have multiple things. But when we treasure them, it includes with it our affections. And I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you connect your affections with stuff, it's got a hold on you. Be it good or be it bad. Listen at this, because the word says again, for where your treasure is. Now, this is where it's so important to understanding how it reflects the condition of your heart. If you have placed your treasure in heaven, then it is clear that your heart is connected to God. Listen at this well. Your heart is going to cause you to do certain things or to not do certain things. When it is connected with your affections, it means that you treasure it. It is precious to you. You look out with it with a great diligence. And so when you recognize again that God knows this is a principle, whether it works in the sacred or secular realm, it is still a principle. He knows this, that wherever you place your treasure, be it your money, be it your emotions and feelings and affections, etc., whatever it is you treasure, there will your heart be also. You can't put your treasure in one place and your heart in another. Because wherever your treasure is, your heart's going to always be thinking about it. Your heart's going to always be focusing on it. You can be thousands of miles away from your treasure, but your heart and your mind and all of those things will be connected with your treasure. That's why the Lord knows whether or not you really desire Him the way that He wants. The Bible tells us in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. God knows something about the heart business, knows where you truly desire to be, because wherever you truly desire to be, you invest in it. See, you can't say my heart is here, but my stuff ain't. No, if your heart is here, then you ought to have more than what's in your heart. You ought to have also what's in your hand. Yeah, right. So you can't say, I love you with your lips and don't have the rest that helps in the living experience in your hand. See, I want you to recognize again that the heart is connected to the treasure. And you really can't say you love the Lord and you don't really tithe and give and sow in the kingdom of God. Let's just look at your check ledger. Y'all getting quiet. I can tell you what you love. Just come spend a little time with me. Bring your checkbook and let's walk through what you've been spending your money on in the last month. Some of you looking twisted. That's all right. I'm just trying to help you here. Because if you want to do it for yourself, go home. Balance your checkbook. Look at what you spend the most on. And you might get a glimpse of where your heart is, because you'll see it's connected to your treasure. Now, I want you to see something else, my brother, my sister. God bless you. He deals not only with your heart in verse 19 through 21, but he deals with your mind in verse 22 and 23. This has to do with your perceptions. Perception. Look at verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, and single-eyed vision denotes a spiritual point of view, meaning that you take the view of God. You don't have a second opinion about what God has said. You take Him at His word. You trust Him. You believe Him. You accept Him at His word. A single-eyed view literally means it's God's way or no way. Okay? But notice here what it says, verse 22 again. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. In other words, it's going to be easy to do the right thing when you focus your mind, your eye, your attention on the word of God, on the will of God, on the way of God. Because what you begin to realize is you pray the prayer like Jesus, thy will, not mine. I know I'm talking about me, but thy will be done. Now keep this in mind, because what's important about seeing this single eye vision that gives light is understanding that God illuminates our understanding. He helps us to see and to understand, to become wise, to make the decisions that will bless him and benefit us when we have the light of his wisdom, the light of his illumination, understanding, the light of how he desires us to walk and operate in the earth realm. We aren't confused. We aren't complex. We aren't in any shape or form turned from the left and or the right, confused with that turmoil on the inside between trying to follow what is right and trying to follow the flesh. When we have a single-eyed view, it is all about the Lord. And so he says, when you have that kind of determination, there are a lot of things that would have all ordinarily persuaded you to go this way or that way. But when you've got tunnel vision, when you keep your eye on the Lord, all that other stuff, extra stuff, all of that extracurricular, all of that sideshow stuff, don't even get your attention. Now, this is at this, because I need you to see this, because he's really dealing with your mind, and it has to do with perceptions. It then brings up what we have termed in these last years, the phrase WWJD, what would Jesus do? That becomes your mentality. Your perception is, if Jesus were in my place, in my position, in my predicament, what would Jesus do? It's a single focus on the Lord and the things of the Lord and understanding it the way he would want you to understand it. He's made clear, my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above you, so am I above you. It's important to understand that you can't know my will without my word. And I, listen to this, illuminate my word. I bring understanding to my word so you will understand how to operate in this earth realm. So he deals with the perception in verse 22 and 23. But then he goes on and he says something else. But if thine eye be evil, an evil eye denotes a vision blurred by materialism and selfishness. Now look at this, because again, he considers an evil eye blurred vision because of materialism and selfishness. Amen. See, when you get hooked on your treasures so that your treasures have hooked you, then you lean toward the perception that your treasure is the most important thing above the source that gave you the resources. In other words, your heart ties you into the things rather than the one who gave you the things. And when you start looking at the material things and getting affectionately close to them where your feelings are all tied. See, that's one of the reasons why we can't use what we've got for God, because we've gotten all affectionate with our stuff. Let me help you understand. Thank God for everything he's blessed me with, but I don't want to fall in love with none of my stuff. I see folk and they say, man, if I had what you had, man, I just love it. I said, that's your problem. See, because if God know you're going to love the stuff more than you love him, he ain't going to give you the stuff. But if he knows you love the one who gave him the stuff, then if he says, give this stuff away or use this stuff for my glory, you won't have no problem doing it, because you know the one who gave you this stuff got some more stuff for you waiting on you. That's why Jesus says, any man leaving house and father, mother, wife, children, and things, look, for my sake, in this life, I'm going to bless him with 100 times more and eternal life. He don't want you getting hung up on stuff. And so when we become so affectionate with our stuff, we fall in love with inanimate objects. Stuff that can't love us back. I don't believe you heard me here. If you find yourself saying, I love anything that cannot love you back, check yourself. I love my car. Can your car love you back? Ooh, I love my house. Ooh, praise God. Thank you. I love my, can your house love you back? I love my job. Can your job love you back? I mean, you can go down the list. Anything, listen at this, that can't love you back should not be attached with the powerful medium of love. I like it. I appreciate it. I'm grateful for it. I'm thankful for it. All of the, but I don't love it. And that's what happened. We attach our affection, our heart, with things. And we don't realize the impact that those things make on us. Not only in our hearts, but on our minds. And this is why our perceptions are so messed up as it relates to things. That's why so many of us miss church and miss God and miss the blessings of fellowship with God, because we're in hot pursuit of things. And sometimes we've got to work 2 and 3 jobs because we want things. And that's why we won't give God his tithe, because we're trying to buy some more things. Oh, y'all know about it. And I can keep on going on, but I think you understand, when you put your affections and attach your affections and your heart with things, you mess up, because you take things out of their rightful position and place them where they do not belong. Now, I want you to see this, because when it talks about the evil eye denoting materialism and selfishness, it says again, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness, be full of corruption, be full of those things that lead you to walk opposite of God's word, will, and way. Darkness representing your being able not to fulfill the things of God, but rather the things of the flesh. When you have an evil eye, it's materialistic and selfish. It's all about you and not about God. Listen at this word again, brothers and sisters. Bible says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What does that mean? Well, if I become caught up on materialism and have become caught up in my selfishness, then what I have not realized is, not only have I attached my heart that belongs to God and the things of God to the things that are of the world and belong in this world, but I have beguiled, I have fooled, I have tricked my own self into thinking that this stuff is worth my soul. What does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Here it is. Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing on this earth that is more valuable to God than my soul. Not all the money in the world, not all the stuff in the world, not anything in the world is more important. God came down in the form of his son to save me, not this world. Y'all didn't get that, did you? The Lord Jesus came, gave his life for you to save you, not this world. And so he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The world ain't lost. It's the folk in the world who are lost. Jesus came to save us. And we miss that when we don't see. If darkness fills our eye, where we do not look to the light of light, If we do not look to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we do not seek him for wisdom, if we do not ask his will, if we do not read his word, then we are filled with the darkness of this world, the deceit of this world. And we get sucked in and pulled in to one scheme after another scheme. One devious attitude and ambition and activity after another one. And we look at one thing after another thing, trying to get more. And the more we do to get more, the more we're willing to do to get more. And we don't realize how great the darkness is. There are some people who'd sell their own mothers, their own family. Fool around and made crack cocaine and drugs and alcohol, people and all of these other things, what they should not have been to them. And darkness filled their eye. And all they were concerned were those things that were connected to that darkness. And then selfishness. Didn't care who they hurt. Didn't care how much it hurt. Didn't care how long it hurt, as long as they got what they wanted. They don't realize how dark, how great the darkness is when your eyes can't rise above the stuff and focus on the Lord. Don't let this world fool you. There's nothing in this world that's greater than what God has for you. Don't let the world fool you. You've got to rise above the stuff and the things and focus on the Lord. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What things? The things that the Gentiles seek after, the world seeks after. God will just add them to you. Folk will bless you without having to be asked to be blessed. God will do it because God is faithful when your focus is on God. The stuff will come. Tell your neighbor, put your heart on God, the stuff will come. Put your heart on God, the stuff will come. And you'll never fall in love with the stuff, and it'll be some of the best stuff man has ever had. And folk will understand how you don't get wrapped up in the stuff. But when you see the light that's brighter than the stuff you got, that stuff is pale compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you realize that the stuff he gives you is here to serve you. Not you serve it. See, when you got your control in the right place, and that's over yourself and over your thoughts and over your actions and over your ambition and over your attitude, when you got control over that and you place it all on the Lord, Lord said, now you got your priorities right. And when you get your priorities right, he just blesses you. He heals you. He delivers you. He makes you free. He blesses you. He encourages you. He enlarges you. I mean, he just does what nothing and no one else can do when you focus on him. And my brothers and sisters, what the world then has to offer doesn't even bother you, because it can't compare with what God has for you. And then ultimately, not only does this passage deal with your heart and with your mind, but it also deals with your will. Look at verse 24. This has to do with your decisions. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and stuff. Mammon mean material things, stuff. Can't do it. You can try all you want. Trying to love too? Don't sit here and act holier than thou with me. How many of you know it really ain't easy to do? Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about now. I ain't say trying to love two had to be two people. It could be your job and your family or your